Hello and welcome to In the Art Scene podcast, an art podcast that has it all. I'm your host, Galina Marquez, and I invite fascinating people to talk about their personal creative journeys, success stories, and inspiration. We talk about art business and marketing, how to find your creative voice, and all the new trends in the art world, like NFT, AI, and such. Join me and my guest for today's conversation.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Art Scene podcast. And I am with Jay Bell today. Jay is an artist. Jay is a founder and the chair of a nonprofit, art nonprofit here in San Diego County called Campana Studio. And also, he is a newly appointed, appointed commissioner for Arts and Culture Commission for San Diego County. So I have so many questions. You guys are in for the treat. Hi, Jay. First of all, just introduce yourself. We want to talk about your art. We want to talk about your background, about your nonprofit, about all of those things. I have no idea if we're going to make it in an hour, but we'll try. We'll see. If we go over time, it's fine.
Great. Well, good morning, and it's real cool to be here with you, and I'm excited to talk about what I'm up to, and also just learn about the kind of questions that you have. Also, being an artist here in San Diego County.
So let's first of all talk about your art, because last time we spoke, you were talking about a really interesting series that you are working on right now, and I see it behind you on the wall, the cars, and I mean, me being a girl, I'm like, I was never interested in cars, but I know that there is something behind those paintings that is very sentimental and nostalgic. So I really want to talk about that.
Sure. Yeah, great. I'm a painter and a printmaker. My background education is in sculpture, and I transitioned into painting a while back, because I found that painting gave us a very well-recognized and structured format to experience art. Everybody knows what to do with a rectangle. It's got a sense of place. We put it on a wall. And what I found with painting as a vehicle was the most exciting thing to me about it was the connections that it creates for me with a viewer, with an audience, with the people in my world. What I've been working on recently is how to expand that sense of connection that's created through painting. I'd initially gotten into this through a series of landscape paintings that I was doing, where the subject matter was locations and places that we all share in common. And what I found was another way to share experience and connect was to look at the cars that our families drove as when we were kids. So in this series of work, I'm calling it Family Cars, and the exploration began with the cars that my family had as a kid, one of which was a 73 Volkswagen Super Beetle, another was a Ford LTD Country Squire, and I have all these very unique personal experiences that I remember back on those cars, being a kid growing up in them, the places we would go, the sights, the smells. And what I noticed as I kind of explored this work was, while I had those unique and personal experiences in those specific vehicles, a lot of other people had those cars too. And a lot of other people at the same time were having those similar experiences in, 1978, riding in the back seat of a big station wagon with red leathery seats and power windows. Other people were having those experiences too. And as I began to explore this, it was really a great opportunity for me to connect with other people. And viewers, friends, get to know people better. Once I did my cars, I started doing other people's cars. And then I've done cars from other people in my family that I had experience with and they had experience with. And in America, our cars and the cars we drive also speak to class, they speak to place, they speak to relationship with our parents. So it's been a really fertile ground for exploration, and I'm continuing to work on this series. The thing that's become very clear to me, though, is what appeals to me most about painting and the subject matter is connection, is connecting with a viewer, connecting with others, connecting with friends, and kind of deepening that. I kind of compare it to portraiture that you see people do with their friends, like Elaine de Kooning did it, Henry Taylor does it now, just kind of documenting their world around them. And for me, it happens to be just in portraits of cars right now. So we'll see where the whole series goes.
Yeah, when you first told me about it, I was like, yeah, I totally see my husband. Because sometimes, I didn't grow up in the United States. He did. And I think you're about the same age. And sometimes he's pointing at some cars on the street, like, hey, we had the same station wagon when I was a kid, or Woody or something. Like, Woody was something absolutely... for me, like something from the different planet. I've never seen those cars before. So when you were explaining about the series, like, yeah, I definitely know how it connects to people. And it's like, how long have you been working on this series?
Well, it's interesting. I 20 years ago, I was painting a lot of pictures of trucks. I was really into trucks, and I was exploring like trucks and Americana and things along those lines. And then, it's probably only been the past year though that I've revisited these vehicles, And prior to that, I was working on some more landscape and abstract landscape paintings that I wanted to be very accessible and approachable and recognizable to a broad group of people. So I would say on a conceptual level, this works very similar. It just looks different. And yeah, that's one of the greatest things I think about being a painter, especially in our time, is that we can paint anything we want.
Yeah.
We can paint anything we want. And I'll be the Gerhard Richter of Encinitas. No, just kidding. You just pick whatever you want. Move between stuff and pick it. So, cars and trucks have always been in some sort of my memory, but I just kind of revisit them in painting recently. What I paint is what I see. So sometimes when I'm looking at thinking about stuff, that's what I'll end up painting. So when I'm, it's kind of a documentation of my experience as a human being. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, a couple of years from now when we are, moving toward forgetting about the pandemic, I think the series of Airstreams or RVs or something would be an interesting thing too, because a lot of people were traveling in their RVs because, no one could go anywhere in any other way. So all the pandemic memories through the vehicles.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, one another thing that's interesting about it is because, as artists now we have these social media platforms, the imagery of these vehicles can get distributed very quickly to a very large group of people. So you can get some immediate feedback on how things connect. And, there's a certain point of time right around maybe 1980 that if you're born after 1980, most families had minivans. Before 1980, people had, station wagons. So you start to see these different lines, and it's fascinating how the work sometimes resonates with people. Because I'll get a message from out of the blue, and like, that's my mom's car, and, all this kind of, very strong, visceral reaction often, and it's a fun way to use social media too.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to ask you about your work with San Diego County. So you are a local artist, obviously. You're very much involved in the art scene here in San Diego. But you're not originally from San Diego, are you?
No.
So what brought you here, and how did you become so passionate and so involved with the art scene here locally?
Sure. What brought me here was a U-Haul truck. No, I am.
Which I'm sure you painted.
I have a couple of them. It was a Penske, actually, not a U-Haul. But I grew up on the Jersey Shore, about 60 miles south of New York City. It was a beach town called Long Branch. And right out of a Bruce Springsteen song. And, we had a boardwalk and a beach and had a heck of a good time. And I went to art school in New York City and, got done with school and was looking at some different options for grad school and work and some other things. And, the life of an academic isn't for me. So I kind of want to get out and experience some stuff. And we ended up moving out to California. I came out here for a visit, looked around, and went back to New York and moved out a week later. you know, and I've been out in California now for 25 years. You know, I've always been involved in community activity. You know, I've always been, whether it's politics or community organizing, different community economic development activities, which, you know, I have a kind of a parallel career in to my artwork. So, you know, I've always been engaged in that way. You know, San Diego's interesting because it's a beautiful, beautiful place to live. But, you know, we're still making improvements in the cultural arts and in terms of really getting ourselves on the map. You know, there are active and vibrant cultures, but there's also a lot of separation between those cultures and a lot of different communities throughout the county. What happened for me was I was involved in a lot of different community stuff, not exactly around the arts. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I decided to focus my community engagement around the arts. You know, I was involved in different organizations that were serving different needs in the community, and I really focused in on the arts. And what happened is I set up a visual arts nonprofit, Campana Studios, and I started seeing kind of the politics of the way art is also developed. And that's how I got engaged and appointed by the county supervisor to be on the Arts and Culture Commission. So the San Diego County Arts and Culture Commission is a body that was created by the San Diego County Board of Supervisors. San Diego County has over 3 million people, making it one of the largest counties in America. And we were one of the largest not to have a countywide arts commission.
Wow.
A countywide arts commission is really integrating the work throughout this very large county that's super diverse, ethnically, racially, geographically, economically. We're a border community. Like it's a very, very interesting world. So the county supervisors had the vision to be able to set this up, to begin to look at how to integrate things throughout and bring resources throughout the county. There's 5 county supervisors. They each nominate 2 people. So the board consists of 10 representatives, and then there's a few student members as well. The commission has just been formed. We're working through the organizational process and really looking at ways for the ways that the county engages in the cultural arts. So visual arts, performing arts, other things as well. And it's an exciting task. For me, the focus is advocating for artists and also advocating for, I would call it economic development on behalf of artists, because the only way to have a healthy and vibrant art community is to have healthy and vibrant artists. You know, this isn't something you can figure out from the top down. It's got to be from the ground up. And I see the biggest, you know, the biggest areas to work on are economic. You know, and economic means housing, wage justice, you know, being fair and equal to people, you know, all these elements, I think, are the keys. Because if not, artists will just leave. You know, we'll just leave if it's not economically viable to be here.
So how are you looking to achieve that, you know, level of economic comfort as the Arts and Culture Commissioner?
I think
it's a bigger, it's a much bigger issue, right?
It is. You know, the affordability, the livability in San Diego County is a big challenge. It's also a great place to live, you know? And from an art and culture perspective, I think the easiest thing to start with is not the easiest, but I would say where I see the path is working on interconnectivity between artists, art organizations, and the community. And this is something I've been working on with our nonprofit too, which is there are a fair amount of resources already in the community, but as artists, we've often been unaware or systematically disenfranchised from accessing some of those opportunities. San Diego County the county government has vibrant grant programs, public art programs, installation budgets, jobs. I mean, their budget is the size of some countries, you know? So, I mean, there's a fair amount of resources there, which I know I've been able to access some of those on behalf of artists I work with. I think we have to keep looking at how to access those for artists and keep looking at these opportunities. There's a lot going on in San Diego. I mean, this is not, you know, there's a lot of money changing hands. There's vibrant philanthropy community. There's strong economics all over the place. I think we can figure this out. You know, this is not an economically depressed area. You know, this is
that's,
an area
that, that's
this,
for
this
sure.
is an area this is an area that can support the arts. You know, there's not, you know, it's to me, it's connecting the dots.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think San Diego has a lot of arts and a lot of artists, and you're right that they're kind of spread out, and there are lots of people who want to be connected, a lot of people who want to be involved and help, but it's just, you know, kind of moving everybody under the same umbrella, I guess.
I think that's a great way of putting it, and there's a couple things we can all do better to do it. One is support each other. You know, that's a big one. Sometimes conflict or scarcity, and, you know, people being overprotective maybe of resources. And we're, you know, a lot of artists and cultural practitioners and arts organizations even, you know, feel like they're fighting over the same dollar, mm-hmm. or they're competing for the same collector or something. And I always say, instead of fighting over the same parking spot, let's make a bigger parking lot. You know, let's try to figure out how to, you know, it's not a glass half full or glass half empty. I'm like, let's get a bigger glass, you know? I know that we're in a county that has the economic resources to do that between the wealth in this area and just the scale of the local governments and the scale that we're dealing with. And I found that the community is incredibly responsive. You know, there's been major foundations that are getting involved now in the visual arts. And supporting them, they know a healthy and vibrant community is dependent upon strong cultural arts. And I totally think we can do this. If we were other places in America, I would definitely question it. I do not. I think we can totally do this here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. San Diego County community is really supportive in general.
Hey, In the Arts and listeners. I just wanted to say a quick thank you for all the support you've given me in the past year. It means more than you know. Every donation through Buy Me a Coffee and every purchase of swag helps me keep up with the production and put out a new episode every week. And I certainly appreciate if you will keep doing it. But I also feel that if you like the show this much, you deserve a little more than just a thank you. This is why I launched a Patreon page. There will be monthly live Q&As, exclusive content, and for the hardcore fans, I got some swag and keepsakes. I love this community that we are building together, and by joining my Patreon, you will help me create more content for you. Go to patreon.com/inthe art scene and join today.
So, commissioner position, is it a volunteer position?
It is a volunteer position. Yes.
So I'm leading to the question. So you volunteer as a county commissioner. You are running a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. You are an artist, and you have a day job on top of that. How many hours in a day do you have to accomplish all of this? I mean, how are you capable of doing all this work by yourself?
I don't sleep too much. No, I mean, I have a great family and friends and people who support. I'm not overwhelmed. I know that, you know, I mean, it's not, I think I do operate maybe at a higher frequency. That's not always the healthiest, but no, I mean, it's a lot of it for me is organizing, meaning I don't do all this by myself, you know, and that's when it's organizing and working with other people, because everything you just mentioned, there's so many more people involved than me. You know, I mean, there's so many more people involved than me.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I'm just, you know,
yeah, No. It's something good for me to think about, you know, something I'm really thinking about. And because I feel like, I can do more, we can do more. The really kind of the breakthrough for me as I've gotten more experienced is not trying to do it by myself. You know, I mean, that's been the biggest thing that I wouldn't have known, you know, 20 years ago, was I thought I had to do it all myself. And, you know, even when we speak to this commission, I mean, it's great. I've got a lot of good ideas. There's rock solid staff from the county. There's rock solid other people on here who are leaders throughout the county. It's just an amazing group of people. And when we organize and surround ourselves with other people that we're all working towards a goal, it's amazing what we can get done. And even with my own, you know, art practice, just working with other artists, working with curators, getting out there, not just trying to get it all done myself. I would say that's how things get done, you know. And it's hard because I would just like to kind of do it all myself sometimes because I love all these different types of work so much. But that's really limiting the impact. And it's also limiting the opportunities we can create for others, you know, and that's a big part of the work I do now. Did you want to talk about Campana? Do you want me to go into that a little bit? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I do. And again, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It's just the more artists I talk to, the more I realize how many hats they're wearing all the time, involved in the community, doing the art practice. More often than not, like probably 99% of artists are having a day job because this is how you support yourself and your family. Because very often art practice just doesn't pay the bills. But you can't just give up on this, right? So yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
No,
how
let's talk
how
about
driven.
I want to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll talk about that for a minute because, you know, I would say something that when I look at the history of art, when I look at other artists that are working, you know, in the great community now and exposure we have through podcasts and Instagram to really figure out how other artists are living their lives. This idea that anybody's just like sitting around making art and people buy it and then that's their whole life, it's a myth. It's never existed in any shape, way, or time. You know, like, you know, Da Vinci and Michelangelo were picking up gigs, you know, painting churches to so they could do the work that they wanted to do, you know? You know, this is a mythology that I think the market has created, the commodification of the art object has created, that there's this like isolated artist in their own zone just making things. And it's just simply not true. you know, there's artists are doing so many different things and it informs the work. It sometimes they feel like they need to sneak and say, I do this thing also, you know, you're like, okay, well, why can't that also, you know, why can't that also be a part of who you are as an artist? You know, there's this whole elevation of different side jobs. Like it's okay to teach, but it's not okay to do this thing. You know, like there's all these different things. And it's just so bizarre because we live in this time where we've, you know, redefined in the past couple of decades who's an artist and who can be an artist. It used to be isolated to this, you know, European white males. Like that's what it used to be. And women were trying to sneak in. And now artists are coming from so many different backgrounds and so many different perspectives. And it's great. And we got to keep pushing that. It's so strange that we're still hanging on to some of these things of like, oh, but I do this other thing, or I make money in this way or something. Like it's just, we got to get rid of all of it in my eyes. You know, he's got to get rid of it. And because the pressure that's pushing that to me is just trying to raise the price of art. You know, because they can say, well, if this person's just making art or just doing this or just whatever, or only teaches or does these, then all of a sudden, for some reason, that means their art should be worth more than if somebody who does other things. And it's just pure nonsense. It's just pure nonsense. That's people making money off of artists. It has nothing to do with artists. If you look back in the history of art, too, all these artists were involved in politics and radical thought and spirituality and religion and you know, fighting in wars and not fighting in war. You know, they're doing all this different stuff outside of what they're maybe doing on the canvas or doing with their sculpture. So I think that finding out for me, just like you said, exploring what artists are doing outside of the studio is super exciting also. and learning how other people live their lives. And this is what's so great about podcasts and social media. We can all learn more about what everybody's days are and not just fall into this mythology of a time past. So I'm glad you brought that up.
No, I really appreciate your point of view on this, because the rhetoric of being a poor artist is kind of a, I just hear in social media right now, the temperature is rising in terms of artists are being taken advantage of. And I do think that it's not necessarily the art community that is complaining about stuff. It's more of the kind of other businesses who are selling services or education to artists are trying to raise that temperature to say, hey, you see, you are underserved. So we gotta flip that for you if you take our course for $2,000 or something like that. So, yeah.
No, it's a horribly predatory labor market if you look at it. You know, so my parallel career for a long time is I've worked for a large community economic development corporation. It's a nonprofit that we sustain through 13 businesses that we own. One business that we own is a construction company that I help to manage. And I've always looked at, you know, labor practices are big in construction and in community economic development. And, you know, art is a predatory labor environment. You know, there's no two ways about it. Art workers are rarely organized. They work in unsafe conditions. I did it. You did it. You know, they're underpaid at museums often, and they can't get a stool to sit down and to take a break. I mean, it's just, as a labor market, it's brutal. And then we often don't control the means of the sales of our work. So, you know, we sell it, you know, a gallery, work at the gallery to sell it in galleries. I dig them. I think they provide, I mean, a gallery allows us all to come in and look at the work for free and never buy anything. I mean, I just really respect galleries and what they put into it. It's just really strong. But once a piece of art sells, we don't get any money after that. So you've got, you know, these great successful artists selling paintings for $250,000. Oh, that's awesome. Well, yeah, you know, 8 years later when it sells for $1 million, they're not getting any of that. So, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, that's not what happens to musicians, to writers, to producers, to actors. So, you know, it's a really, really tough labor market. And then it goes throughout the scale, you know. It's tough, you know. So In 2020, I started a nonprofit called Campana Studios. I did it, it grew out of some other community work that I was doing. I had done a citywide coloring contest in Encinitas for kids who were home during the pandemic. And it paralleled a fundraiser we were doing for kids that had families that had food insecurity due to the shutdown of schools. And the campaign was called Be Strong, Safe Fuerte. The coloring sheet would go out, kids would color it. There was an Instagram contest, there'd be prizes. And I had so much fun with it that I decided to get off of every other board and every other nonprofit thing I was doing and just do community, you know, and create a nonprofit to do community art engagement. So I set up a board, we dialed it in. Our mission is, Campana Studios' mission is to create platforms for visual artists to engage in the community. And when I started it, I modeled it after some radical printmaking workshops that have existed. You know, I was looking at printmaking as being the main vehicle. So I worked with self-help graphics. I looked at some other models. What quickly happened, though, was I found that my work at Campana really became about economic development for artists very quickly. And the way that happened was the minute I set up the nonprofit, other groups and people I knew around the North County of San Diego, Encinitas, Carlsbad, Solana Beach, Oceanside, started asking me, do I know any artists who would volunteer to like help at an event or volunteer? And I was just taken aback. I said, well, no, I don't know anyone who would volunteer. I said, do you know maybe a dentist who would volunteer or a roofer who would volunteer or, you know, a teacher? Like, no. I said, I know artists we can pay and maybe I can help to come up with a way to pay them and support maybe what you have going on, but I'm not going to ask anybody to volunteer. And it was a really radical experience for me as I started to just see how much free labor was being requested and then provided by artists, because we love what we do and we want to help. But oftentimes I found that there was some money there. It was just, we had to ask for it. So what I started doing with Component is going after grants and going after other funding to run artist-led visual programming, visual arts program in the community. And it's in the past 3 years, it's really grown and it's been successful. And we just continue to expand what we're working on.
That's great. That is awesome. Where is the name Campana comes from?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, living in San Diego for so long, and then also a lot of my work, because San Diego is such a diverse community, a lot of times I'm working within the Latino community.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found it interesting. So I'm half Italian and half Irish, and the Italian side of my family has very poetic names, you know, Adriano, Loreno, Restivo, you know, Carlo, Croce, Restivo. You know, they have these great, you know, really flowing names. And my name always sounds very guttural, J. Bell. You know, it's just kind of like very two syllables. So when I would be with my Latino friends, I would say, you know, everybody's introducing themselves. I said, your names just sound so much better than mine. So what they started doing was calling me Señor Campana, because Campana is bell in Spanish.
Ah.
So they would say, this is, you know, Che Roberto Restivo Campana, you know, kind of like doing the Korean, where you have multiple names or something.
That sounds so much better.
When I started this, right. So, you know, anyway, J Bell or, you know, Che Roberto Restivo Campana, it just flows so much better. So when I started this nonprofit, I kind of thought of it as my kind of foil, you know, like my counter.
Uh-huh.
So I made it Campana as the side note right there. It also just, I love the way that word rolls. It's just such a beautiful word. So that's where that came from. And our programming keeps growing. So right now, we brought in a program manager who oversees all of our workshops, and we have adult printmaking, papermaking workshops in Carlsbad. We have two a month. They're donation-based, they're free, and they're paid for by the city of Carlsbad. And then we have other adult and youth workshops in Encinitas at the library and a few other locations. And then we have a free after-school program at Paul Ecce Central School. And then next year we'll be starting a program called Artists in the Classroom, where we'll bring artists into classrooms in Encinitas, Carlsbad, and Solana Beach. And that's with the support of the San Diego County government. They have a grant program that we're able to access for that.
That's
so
amazing.
Super exciting and seeing things growing with those programs.
That's amazing. So for all the artists, on behalf of all the artists in San Diego County, how to get involved, how to sign up to be a part of a program, or how to pitch an idea for another community program if someone has one?
Sure. I mean, so a couple things. Get connected. You know, get connected to the arts organizations within your community. Campana is working in the North County. There's great groups, you know, in Oceanside, there's Hill Street Country Club. Down in San Ysidro, there's The Front. You know, find out the arts, you know, the arts organization within your community and connect and support it. Go to the events, you know, reach out to the executive director, help out, you know, look for opportunities there, and, you know, share your ideas. All of the programming that we have right now was created by the artists who are leading the programs. So it's not like I come up with an idea and then find somebody to do it. It's all grassroots that comes through. And I know that if you have an idea in San Diego right now, one of the things we're dealing with is there's a lack of cultural programming. There's not enough. You host, you know, I have a friend, Jen, who runs a great figure drawing program. It's always sold out. I mean, it's packed. Like, people are looking for things to do. So if you have an idea, just know that I think it's going to be received well. We're not overwhelmed by great creative opportunities here. And support your local, you know, go to the museum show, go to the different event. You'll find your people. And to me, that's the key, is connecting and going through it. And The other big avenue is working with your local city. You know, we have a great relationship with the city of Carlsbad. They support, or they do a great job from day one supporting what we're working on. City of Encinitas from day one, you know, both of them wrote us our first grants when we were in our first year of work. And we were implemented and have grown from there. So you can meet with your local art director or, you know, for your city, and they're great. For example, Carlsbad has given us grants 3 years in a row to run our printmaking program. We're able to pay artists above like a fair wage to do super high quality programming. These are artists who have MFAs. These are artists that would be teaching in a museum. They're coming to Carlsbad and running these totally accessible workshops. The city benefits, the artist benefits, the community benefits. Encinitas, something else we've done there is we actually have a public art contract where we're contracted to do, it's a mosaic tile that will go underneath the El Portal train crossing. That the lead artist, Jeremy Wright, is going to be working with students from Paul Ecce School to design and fabricate it. That's a great opportunity with the city to work on public art. So these cities have public art programs, they have grant programs. And, you know, sometimes they're super competitive and sometimes they're not. sometimes they're simply not. So it's paying attention to what's going on in your city and connecting with your local arts organizations. Don't try to do it alone. Yeah.
So to maybe make it a little bit easier to navigate, and you touched on this at the very beginning of this conversation, that San Diego is so spread out and not connected. So it's kind of not that easy to actually pay attention. Like it's going to take a lot of research to find who is your local organizations, what do they do? It's not necessarily they, you know, have great advertising or anything like that. Is there a resource, or is Commission for Arts and Culture going to create a resource, maybe online, where artists can go and see what's going on in the county or in their local communities, and you know, reach out to right people? Because I know that there are some programs that, you know, I just randomly hear that exist in San Diego. Like amazing, there's a sketch party at the museum. It's happening, I think, once a month. In the Natural History Museum, you go there in the evening and you are free to go around the museum and sketch whatever exhibits they have. There is San Diego Opera has an art night during the dress rehearsal before the opening night for the next opera. During their entire season. So, and they have what, three major operas and I think like four or five smaller performances. So that's an amazing opportunity that not everybody knows about. And it's totally free for artists to just, but if you go to, let's say, San Diego Opera website, there is no mentioning of that. I know that there is a list that you can sign up, but unless you know someone who has a link, there's no way to find it. So is there a development, or is there already a resource within Arts and Culture Commission that is going to provide that information?
You know, maybe. What you're sharing, what it makes me think about is you just brought up two programs that I would be really interested in checking out that I didn't know about. And what I'm observing in this conversation and some others that I'm having is what it's going to take to be able to have a community that shares that, you know, where people know about that. It's going to take authentic community, which is what you and I are doing right now, right? You know, it's going to take it's going to get done on a grassroots level. It's going to get done by me and you talking and then me sharing that with somebody else and building it from there. And that's what I'm noticing in the work with Campana is we're building a community through these different artists that are all working together. And, you know, I know you because you know Jonathan, who has a space that's a community-driven space, and now we're connected and we'll now be in conversation about these different things that are coming up. And I think it's definitely going to be a grassroots thing, Sure. Could there be a resource countywide? Absolutely. That would be great. The city of Encinitas has one. You submit your things on it, and the city of Encinitas, you sign up for it, and it's good. Sign up for every museum to be on their list, see if the good stuff's good, and if not, cancel it. You know, there's no countywide clearinghouse, but I'm going to put that on the agenda for the future. But what you're saying is so impactful just in sharing opportunities. And to me, that's going to be the ultimate byproduct of this commission and the nonprofit work that I do is a creating of a community, because art's the platform for this engagement. If we weren't both making art, we probably wouldn't be talking right now unless we bumped into each other like a Trader Joe's or something, right?
Yes.
You know, like, so it's the art. And I think what we do is it's the grassroots up. It's not going to be the top down. And we just got to keep talking and keep organizing. I know there's one guy in LA who he just has an email list and everybody sends him stuff and then he just sends it out to everybody. It's pretty wild on different things that are going on. And I'm on two message groups where people just send stuff out that's going on. And then I make it a point always to share the stuff I know about out to people, mostly through social media, but a lot of times just through direct. And I love it that it's a platform for all of us to connect with each other. It's super exciting, super exciting to me.
Yeah, well, it sounds like we have a lot of work to do in San Diego.
Yeah, and we're doing great already, like we're talking and we're making art and we're looking at each other's work there's a lot of room to grow. There's also just great stuff going on as well.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for being with me today. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing all of that. To me, it was really fascinating to listen to you talk about how things are done in the county and what can be done to actually bring the community together to the level that it's healthy and thriving economically, first of all, and from there, culture will be a platform to drive a lot of different community programs. It's just, I believe it's a path for a healthier, happier community. So thank you so much for doing this work.
Yeah. Well, thank you for what you're doing. I mean, your podcast and setting up your platform for connecting people and sharing information. I think that medium is pivotal to building community. I mean, I've learned so much. I listen to your podcast, listen to others about how we can connect artists in a way that, we couldn't have done just a few years ago. So, thank you for the work that you're doing.
That's also grassroots. Doing my best. Yeah, thank
totally.
You.
Yeah. You can't get more grassroots than this, sister.
Yes,
I'm saying?
For sure.
I got you. Right on. Right on. In terms of what I'm doing, I love ideas. If you're out there, it's at Campana Studios on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Or info@campanastudios.org. Just, if you got an idea, send it to me. Our service area is predominantly San Diego County. But I'm always game for talking about ideas. And let's have some fun with it too while we're doing it.
Absolutely. I'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes. So everybody, if you're listening, if you're in San Diego County or you want to be involved in San Diego County, move over here. It's a great place to live and a great place to work on arts and help communities. So reach out to Jay, get involved in Arts Commission. Or maybe start your own grassroots thing. Alrighty. Thank you so much. We're at the top of the hour. I am so grateful for you to come here and spend an hour with me talking about all those things. We'll see you very soon at your next exhibition. I will let you know when this episode is coming out, so I will make sure to put the information of the closest exhibition to that date. Awesome. We'll see you again in the art scene.
It has been another episode of In the Art Scene podcast. If you liked today's conversation, please give us a good review on Apple and go listen to other great stories. Check out our website intheartscene.com or follow us on Instagram @intheartscene for more content. If you are a creative and you want to share your story, shoot us a message from the website or DM us on Instagram. Look forward to seeing you next time in the art scene.